accession number 20521, reel 3.
Harry Garrett, reel 3. So you were in Italy doing this job, and you said that you returned to Taranto?
We went across to Taranto with the vehicles, up through Bari, up that Adriatic coast, to then crossed over into Naples. It was a very hazardous journey because all the bridges had been blown. Oh dear, it was a hell of a place to get through. Had to go all through different washes and things to get the vehicle through. And eventually, it was most peculiar, but I handed all my goods over to the 78th Battle Axe Division. And when I got back to England, because I'd joined the British Legion, the General Butterworth, who was in charge of that, was CO at the branch in Seven Oaks. I never knew him then, of course. It was just coincidence, wasn't it? Like that again then. The general in charge of the division with our boss man at the Seven Oaks branch of the Royal British Legion.
But do I understand that you weren't long in Italy before you went back to England?
3 weeks, 4 weeks. Because it was a cushy old job, you know. I enjoyed it. I was with an officer, I had an officer in charge with me. He wasn't much good, but never mind.
What did you do in England once you got back?
Well, obviously we had a nice bit of leave for a start. Then I was up in Catterick Camp, and I suddenly collapsed on the square with a burst Julian ulcer. So that put pay to my career as a soldier then. And I was sent grade C to this camp at Catterick, and I had to look after, I had 30 batmen to look after these officers, to train them from field gunners into, from ship's gunners into field gunners. Had a cushy job there, nice job. Went to bar with the wines and all the beer and all the whiskey and all the cigarettes. Enough said. And I was great. This man is physically unfit for any form of military service in the end. I got discharged in October 1945. That's when I came out with my dear brother, because he went across with my division, 51st. And he got badly knocked about over there.
But you didn't go across,
no,
friend?
No.
Can I just go back to the BEF?
Yeah.
Because I think we've still missed some things. Wasn't there a story about the BEF in which there was something to do with you and your brother with a horse?
Oh, yes. This is a bit of a tale. We got this horse, and I said, come on, Ken. I said, I'll give you a bunk up on this horse. We jumped up. It was a big horse. It was one of the Carassi horses. We jumped on this horse there and trotting away. All the people looking at us as we trotted down the road with the horse. And suddenly I thought, well, we can't go much further with this, as it's all the bombers and the shells all there, and I'd felt very obliged that I'd be the cause of the horse's death. We got off of it, and then trekked my foot from there on. That was quite funny, really. Everybody said, oh, look at him.
So it was a French soldier's horse?
Yes, it was a loose one. There's horses everywhere, cattle. I mean, the cattle were mowing, they were bellowing, because they hadn't been milked. It was a very sad thing for the poor old cows. We used to milk them sometimes, you know, to make it easier for them. Must have lost a lot of cattle in those days, because nobody was looking after them. Although Ebby and I one day, we were very hungry. This was before we got to Dunkirk, and we hadn't got much rations, because the food was a bit dodgy, and we shot a young bullock, and we had a nice few steaks off of this young bullock, because he carved him up, because left it for the infantry to finish off the meat.
And was Ken, your brother, in your unit?
He was in the same battery, but not a different troop. You weren't allowed to have it. I was in G troop, he was in E troop. they don't allow you to be in the same unit, you see. So I was always sort of near enough to say, where is F troop, where is G troop, and different troops where I met him. In fact, we had one very serious situation up in North Africa. They'd gone into positions somewhere, and they were right on a enfilade position, and when they woke up in the morning, they were facing the Germans, and they'd been bombed and shelled all day long, you know, a hell of a state. Of course, they asked for volunteers to go and bring them out of the situation, because being a brother, I said, I'll go. But very fortunately, by the time I got up there, the Germans had gone. Otherwise, it could be quite a dicey thing.
And did you not see a hospital ship at Dunkirk?
Oh, yes, we saw that. It was terrible, that was. The actual... just not hospital ships. I mean, it was actually tremendous. The actual... Well, that picture I've got up there of the Dunkirk Harbour, you've seen it all over. It's typical what it was. I mean, the ships were being bombed and shelled every day. I mean, the shells were coming over the ships as well as the bombs from the Germans. And this particular ship, this is actually a true story, because I met these three fellows. And we were talking one day, and he said, well, he said, never guess, Harry. He said, we were helping putting the wounded aboard. And we said to the officer, can we come? He said, yes, you can come. He said, as long as you leave your rifles behind, we can't take any arms aboard. Now, this is stupid. This is really typical British officer. So obviously, no, we're not leaving our guns. He said, well, you can't come aboard then. So these boys said, all right then, we'll stay here then. I'm not giving my rifles up for anybody. And the ship went off, just got outside the harbour, and right down the funnel, boom, up she went, the whole blooming lot. This is absolute truth. Mind you, those sort of truth stories, there's so many of them, because you can imagine the losses we had. You read the story of the losses of the boats we lost out there. I've got a whole list of here. There was so much going on in that Dunkirk, believe you me, you didn't have a chance to get scared, really. You know, you're meeting people and you're trying to survive.
But that story about leaving the rifles behind was told to you by someone.
Oh, yes. I quite believe it, because they're genuine fellows, and they can understand this is the sort of thing they would do. As a hospital ship, you're not to take arms. Now, the Germans wouldn't have a second thought, but their blokes would.
Did you see the hospital ship hit?
I saw yes. And also saw one of the old Thames, you know, the South End boats, you know, the one of the South End boats saw that hit as well. But it was pretty chaotic in that water. And when we came out through the Dunkirk, because that thing up there, that's the list of all the units involved, plus my own unit, and the destroyer Wolsey. This is the Operation Dynamo thing of all the happenings, and all the RAF blokes at the bottom. And that's all the units we had, you know, in the desert, and that's the units we had in Dunkirk, yeah. I keep all this memorabilia.
You were telling me about not staying on in the army at the end of the war.
Yes, well, I'd like to have stayed on. I really would, because, you know, it's a... But may I say this again? I got this duty little ulcer, but then, of course, it had burst. And, of course, it was perfectly okay that I wouldn't have it again. But it's a marvellous friendship we get in the army. It's you know, you really... It's amazing, I think, that the friendship you get and the loyalty you get, and you'd do anything for your mates, you really would, even though you don't think much of them. Yeah. You'd drag them out of hell, you know, to survive, you would.
So why would you do that if you don't think much of them?
Well, as an army, it isn't a question of them, it's a question of us. Every man helps himself, and you know... I think it's a wonderful feeling, the spirit of a Tommy to his buddies.
How do you feel now about having served in the army in the Second World War?
Very proud. Very proud. I love going on parades. I go on lots of parades with the British Legion, Dunkirk veterans, because we've packed that up now. But I used to do, with my little friend Stanbury, about 20 parades a year. France, Belgium, all over the country, you know, and every year we have a big parade up in Whitehall, you know, the Dunkirk Veterans